Welcome to Let's Talk Fleet Risk, a podcast for those who manage drivers and vehicles and want to reduce road risk in their organisation. For this episode, I'm handing the reins over to my colleague Anne-Marie Penny of National Highways and the Driving for Better Business Programme Manager. She's talking to Louise Clarkson, who is, deep breath, Operational Assurance and Capability Business Services Team Leader for National Highways Customer Services Division. Louise founded the Menopause and Hormonal Conditions Network for National Highways. This was a fascinating discussion which covered how menopause can impact a woman's ability to drive for work, the impact on a menopausal woman's partner who may also drive for work, the need for a corporate menopause policy, sharing corporate best practice across different sectors, and finally, Louise's award for the valuable work that she's done to support others.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Driving for Better Business podcast. My guest today is Louise Clarkson, Operational Assurance and Capability Business Services Team Leader for National Highways Customer Services Division. Welcome to the podcast, Louise.
Thank you for having me.
We've got a bit of history going back a couple of years from an internal forum, and we'll come on to that later. But your role is a critical part of National Highways Business Operational Assurance services, and mainly for on-road officers and control room operatives. So what was your route into this role, and what does a typical day look like for you?
I started in the control room at South Mimms as a control room traffic officer about 18 years ago. I then became a team manager. After that, I moved into the role of National Control Room Training Manager with the responsibility of training all of the new control room operators. When that role ended, I was asked to join the Operational Assurance team as the Business Support Manager. My role covers a number of areas, managing the operational capability observation reports that are completed by team managers, both on and off road, and managing the assessments of those team managers, both from an administrative perspective. I'm business support for the Fatal Risk Control Group, operational risk assessments, and currently operational business continuity reports. Any one of those can form part of my day, whether it's managing the materials or pulling together reports and data. And it can also include a little bit of IT help for some of our control room and on-road team managers.
I mean, I've mentioned that your role is in a critical part of the organisation, but that's really understating it, because making sure that our roads are as safe as possible, including our staff that work to provide safe spaces, is critically important. I can't underestimate how important that part of our business is.
Absolutely. And having a process where we can ensure that the people working on our roads are working as safely as possible and evidencing that and making sure that the constant upskilling of their understanding of process is yearly.
Yeah. So alongside the day job, you founded the Hormonal Warriors Group. I just love that title. So what's the group all about and what led you to start it?
So the group, the official title is the Menopause and Hormonal Conditions Network, but Hormonal Warriors is much more fun. It's about raising awareness of menopause in the workplace, the symptoms and the effects that individuals can experience, how that then manifests itself in a working environment, and what reasonable adjustments can be put in place to support an individual and keep them as a valued member of National Highways. We worked with HR to put together a robust menopause policy, which in itself has won an award. I started it when I was experiencing the most intense anxiety about everything and anything. I was losing words and my concentration was non-existent. I was convinced I had early onset dementia or a brain tumour. I was 46 when I finally plucked up the courage to go to the GP and found out that this was perimenopause, the lead up to menopause. I was stunned and angry. I was angry that I didn't know about these symptoms. I'm an intelligent human being. How did I not know that this could happen? I was stunned that so many parts of us are physically affected by this decline in hormones. And I knew there'd be other people out there feeling exactly the same, thinking they're losing their minds and not knowing where to turn. Had I still been in the control room, I would have probably left for fear of setting signals incorrectly and endangering someone's life, let alone for people who are on road and staring at traffic coming at them. I stopped driving because I knew I wasn't concentrating well, and quite frankly, I was just too terrified to skip to drive.
I mean, the symptoms are quite far-reaching, and some women go through the menopause with barely a batted eyelid, and the rest of us, sometimes it feels, we talk in the group a lot. We have these shared experiences, and you do feel like you're going mad. You feel like somehow you've changed from the person you used to be, but you don't know quite when that happened because it sort of sneaks up on you and then whacks you from behind. And that you mentioned about just not remembering the names of things or the names of people. The times I've stood in front of someone that I've known for absolute years and I cannot bring their name to my lips. I mean, it's apart from being embarrassing, you do wonder what's going on in your head.
It's frightening.
It can be really frightening. So talking about just menopause, which is even the name, people avoid sometimes saying it. It's not a subject that is often easily discussed, and especially in the workplace. Symptoms can have a huge impact on life, including relationships and work. But I think we need to be absolutely clear. It's not a disability, but it can be really debilitating. There's a subtle difference in those two things. And you've talked a little bit about the experience of women who are premenopausal and going through the menopause. These things are entirely natural and normal. And this is not women saying, oh, we're making excuses. Sometimes that debilitating bit, you absolutely feel that you can't do something. It's the anxiety. And for people that have never been anxious to suddenly feel anxious, again, it comes back to that frightening. You don't know what's happening to you because we don't talk about it. So we need to talk more about it in the workplace. And just the experience from the group, listening to people talking, and you understand that whilst they're varied, there is that shared anxiety and worry part of it that goes through everybody who's going through it.
Yeah, I mean, they are intense anxiety was how mine started. The lack of concentration, the inability to multitask, not being able to sleep, joint pain, memory issues. There are approximately 44 symptoms attributable to perimenopause, and I would recommend anyone Google them because your journey may start at a different point.
Yeah.
There's no particular sort of flow that they come in. They can come at any different times in any different combination and if, in any different severity. The hot flush is probably the one that's most obvious and well-known symptoms, and that in itself can affect your concentration and your sleep. There's intolerance and anger and rage and just breaking down into tears for no apparent reason. The individuals that have contacted me directly when they are in crisis are usually struggling to explain their symptoms to either their line manager or their family. And this can lead to a breakdown of relationships, which just makes the whole process even harder to manage. The Samaritan statistics for suicide in women has their average age at 51, which is right in the middle of perimenopause.
There are plenty of resources available to help employers understand menopause, as well as guidance on how to start discussions with staff and address the potential impact. There are links to many of these resources in the show notes.
So women over the age of 50 actually represent the fastest growing segment of the workforce, which actually quite surprised me, I have to admit. But in 2021, the government commissioned an independent report to look at the issue of menopause and employment specifically. And it contains 10 recommendations to support women going through the menopause. So what do these recommendations mean for employers? What they can do and what they should do to support women going through the perimenopause and menopause itself?
Businesses should have a robust menopause policy. They need to be training their line managers to have difficult conversations because this is a subject that most people don't want to talk about. They have to understand how something as simple as a reasonable adjustment of a desk fan can save the loss of a knowledgeable and experienced employee. Perimenopause can last up to 10 years. It's not the same for everyone, and each symptom can present in a different pattern or severity. And some lucky ladies, as you say, get away with it and don't get any. So each case has to be treated independently of any other experience that that line manager may have had. But they need to educate themselves.
Yeah, And you mentioned the National Highways Menopause Policy, and you mentioned that it's won an award. So, what is the approach of National Highways, and how has that improved the workplace for women?
Their approach has been to speak to people like myself who were in the midst of perimenopause and then go out to other businesses and ask for guidance on any successful menopause policies that they had implemented. I know they went to Lincolnshire Police, for example, and some of the councils in London who'd also put together a really good menopause policy. It's understanding what a reasonable adjustment looks like for menopause, and that can be something as simple as a desk fan. It can be allowing people to work from home when they need to, because sometimes just the act of getting up, getting dressed, putting your makeup on, feeding the kids, doing sandwiches, getting them to school, getting on the train and coming to work is just too much. If they could just sit there, open their laptop in their pajamas and get on with work, that might be just what they need that day. So it's that kind of flexibility to understand where someone is at a specific point. It's not forever, and every day won't be the same. Equally, there's got to be an understanding of what could happen.
And as you say, women are skilled in the workplace just as much as their male counterparts are. And when you've got a skilled part of your workforce, you'd want to retain them. You'd want to make sure that actually they can still provide that value to the business that you've seen before. So actually, it's the policy doesn't just help those women going through the menopause. Actually, it actually helps the business to continue delivering what it needs to deliver. And I think that's a really important point.
It's cost effective because they're not having to start again with somebody new and have to give them all the training and try and gain that experience.
Yeah. And with more women over 50 being in the workplace, many will be driving. And you've mentioned driving, something that you felt was so affected by the symptoms of menopause that you stopped driving. So, but many will be driving either as part of their job or even as professional drivers, their main role. Menopause can pose unique challenges, especially when you're driving. How did you find that the menopause affected your driving? What was it that really worried you about it, the physical and the mental effects?
Yeah, my concentration was the biggest challenge. We've all had that experience where we've kind of switched off when we're driving and we can't remember the last traffic light we went through. But it was more than that, it was bigger than that. And I had a couple of near misses because I wasn't concentrating at all. And there was a couple of, slam the brakes on moments because our ability to multitask completely disappears. And so this makes something like driving harder and more tiring because functions we would normally do with that muscle memory, like changing gears, requires that even bigger effort to focus on. And sometimes the anxiety of driving at all is just so overwhelming that people will just leave their job. It's just easier. I didn't drive for 3 years because I was so anxious and I knew I couldn't concentrate in. If you then throw in issues with your sleep, you're driving tired, which we know is a risk all of its own. So it's managers needing to be flexible enough to be able to have open conversations. Sometimes even a change in a shift pattern can help if an individual may be more alert at certain times of the day. If there's an ability to partner them with someone else, that allows that individual to say on a particular day, "I'm really struggling with my concentration today. Can you drive?" So those are all considered reasonable adjustments, but they can only have that through conversation.
And this should be something that is on the radar of organisations and employers when they're looking at the risks for driving in their organisation. Some may not have women that drive, that may be a different environment altogether, but for those that do have women in their workforce that drive, that is a risk that they should look at, assess, and then look at how they're going to mitigate for so they're prepared.
Yes, and you don't forget, it's not always the women that are suffering here. The husband, the partner, they're the ones lying in bed at night with the wife tossing and turning, having to get up because they're having hot flushes and they want to change the sheets because they've soaked them with sweat. It disturbs their peace and rest period as well. So there may be partners of a menopausal person that is equally struggling to get any sleep and they then turn up tired. So it's not just the women that it affects.
You know, that's a really, really good point, and probably one that most people don't think of. We often think of, mums and dads being tired when they've got a new baby in the house, but actually thinking about partners of women going through the menopause is equally as important. Yeah, my poor husband just doesn't cope with me not being able to sleep under a duvet. So I've got a sheet and he has a duvet all to himself, which actually he's quite pleased with.
And some of us aren't lucky enough to have a supportive partner. Some of us don't have that open relationship where we can share exactly how we're feeling, which can leave the partner feeling very isolated and alienated, wondering what the heck they've done wrong, when actually they've not done anything wrong this time. It's actually something completely different. So there, it does affect the whole family.
Yeah, and that again is something just to be aware of when you're looking at the risks that you need to assess in your driving for work policy. So that's something that we'd recommend that people are just mindful of. So how do we meet in the middle to ensure that women are supported and the business need is met? What would your advice be to anybody managing someone going through the menopause?
Open conversations. We don't want to feel like this. We don't want to let people down. So an open conversations where compromises can be made that allows a woman to be honest, or a man, but equally allows the opportunity for the business to perhaps think differently in order to just get the business needs met, but we might have to just adjust things. Just being able to speak openly and not hide the symptoms can sometimes be enough for an individual to actually carry on with their day job. An adjustment to their uniform, maybe, to help with hot flushes. We created a menopause animation as a guidance for managers. View that on their own as a manager, but with the person who's struggling, reading the menopause policy and asking for help from the menopause network. The menopause group has two Yammer pages. It's got a menopause and hormonal conditions one, which is a private group for ladies only, where we can be really honest about certain things that we're struggling with. And we've got an open one, which is called Let's Talk Menopause, where anyone can go on and just ask questions. And we were lucky to have that launched with Steve Bird, who presented a day in the life of the menopause husband. And how he supported his wife and the way they talk about things. So there is stuff there, but simply Googling it to educate yourself is enough. You'll find the information, but just be open to have those calls.
Excellent. So finally, I understand that you've won an award. Would you like to tell me a bit more about that?
Yes. So I have, as of January, just stood down from the group. I've founded it and I've been in it as lead for 5 years, and it's time to hand over the baton. And Duncan Smith nominated me for an honours award for going above and beyond in support of colleagues, which went to DFT. And I found out 2 weeks ago that I have been accepted, and I have an invitation to a garden party at the palace with the King on the 8th of May. I'm still quite stunned and I can't quite believe it because I'm not really palace material, but I'm trying to work out what the heck to wear. Do I have to learn to curtsy? Yeah, so it's all a bit of a shock at the moment. But it's lovely to be recognised, but just by being nominated, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to have been able to help the ladies I've helped, and I hope that it continues with the current committee. There's always desperate need for ladies to join the committee because there's always so much to do. And I wish them all well, but for now I'm having to take a back seat. But it's a nice little epilogue to my journey, if you like.
I think so, and it's so well deserved because the number of women that are in that group that come every month to talk about that I've got this problem, where can I find help, and just the support from the group which you started, which is phenomenal. And there are women that are feeling easier about things because of what you did. So I would encourage people in organisations to look at whether or not they could, start their own hormonal warriors group. We could have a chain of them, Louise. What a thing that you could have
Yeah, Mel Clark actually contacted me a couple of years ago and said, we're doing all of this for National Highways, but what about our contractors? We've got all these contractors that we deal with. So a couple of years ago, I started an extended group four stakeholders. So we had like Tellent and Amy and Tarmac and all these guys on it as well. And that's just grown and grown. And now we can't call it stakeholders anymore, because actually we've got HSBC, HMRC, Manchester College, Rail Network, got all these other people who now come in every quarter and go, right, this is what we've done to raise awareness. And we just steal each other's ideas and share things that they've thought of to just make it less of an icky word.
Brilliant. It's absolutely fantastic, Louise, and very well deserved. Thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about the menopause, its effects on women, and what you can do in your workplace, we'll be posting some resources on the Driving for Better Business website. Louise, thank you so much for today.
Thank you.
Good luck with whatever you do following your removal from the Hormonal Warriors group. I know you're still there, you're still supporting the women, but thank you for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Brought to you by Driving for Better Business.